What if the key, what if your key to the level of financial success that you're looking for, that you desire, all of it, it's just, it's all in your mind? What if through imagining the future that you wanted, you could actually have it? How amazing would that be? Is that true? Is that possible? Well, that's what I wanted to kind of get into and explore today. Is it possible to imagine the life that I want and then to actually have that come to fruition? It's almost like a form of modern alchemy, to think about and envision something and then go about making it happen. So to create something from absolutely nothing. Well, part of that is certainly imagination, and then there's more that goes into it. But what would that be like? That would be pretty amazing. And I think that it is actually possible. Fundamentally and foundationally, because this is about money, it's about personal finance, it's about wealth, it's about those things. There's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So we have to act accordingly. We have to take and accept ownership of that. And we need to do the stuff that it takes to actually get there. So what does your ideal financial life look like? What is it? Do you know? And that sounds like such an obvious thing, but it's not an obvious question. Because while you have basic needs that must be met, which are foundationally and fundamentally the same as my needs, I have to eat, I have to dress, I have to, you know, have medicine when I need it, I need money, I need all of these things. But then how we go about choosing to do these things, or rather meeting those needs, well, that's something you need to decide yourself. You need to make up your own mind and figure out what the best path forward is. And again, do we really know what that looks like? Do we know what our ideal financial life looks like? But what about just our entire, our life in general? Do you know what you want your life in general to look like? And for better or for worse, money is going to be a through line for most every single one of those things. Yep, money can't buy love. But what money can do is it can give you time, because it can free you up from doing mundane tasks, from just doing most anything. You can hire people to do just about anything, and more so by the minute, for goodness sakes. One of my kids asked me the other day, it's like, do you ever do, if it was DoorDash or Grubhub? And it's not a judgment one way or another, but I've never done it. And it just kind of struck me as funny that we've come so far that now we can't even bother ourselves to get off my butt to go through a drive-through, to go to the store to pick up food. So the point of it is, these days we can hire somebody to go pick up our food for us. We can hire somebody to go do our shopping, to pick up our dry cleaning. We have this sharing economy, which is everywhere. So the through line to getting what you want in this example is money. Money can buy you time. Money can buy you more attention. You know, if you're constantly consumed with stress and anxiety about your finances or about money or whatever, then you know you don't have time to be devoting that to other places. Life comes down to choices and to decisions and to trade-offs, because there are no absolutely correct decisions. It's just a series of trade-offs. Because when you're saying yes to one thing, you're saying no to everything else. So when I choose to allocate time towards one thing, I'm saying no to everything else. When I choose to allocate money to one thing, I'm saying no to everything else. So I'm fond of talking about our most valuable resources of time, energy, attention, and money. And they're valuable because they are finite. And how do we maximize them? The idea, again, how can I use my imagination to get the financial life that I truly want? So it starts with this question, is that the only way to live how you want is to know how you want to live. So that's where the imagination comes in. Have you taken the time to sit down and think about, to think it all the way through, what you want your life to look like? I know that we have preferences, and we certainly know the things that we don't want to do anymore. For too many of us, it's go to our job that we don't like, but whatever it might be. And it may not be possible to totally change or shift your life right now, but I'm an advocate and a believer in, and I understand the power and importance of making incremental change. Because while I do want everything now, I appreciate that it takes time. If I'm 50 pounds overweight, I cannot, well, see, that's not true anymore either. I can actually take a shot and lose a substantial amount of weight. But even that takes time. And there's a lot of trade-offs that are going along with that. But you get the idea. Historically speaking, if I wanted to lose 50 pounds, I would need to lose, 4, 5, 6 pounds a month. And then I would get there over a series a month. If I was $10,000 in debt, it would just be incremental, making payments to paying down my credit card balance. So why would getting the life that you want be any different? You want to get stronger, you need to start lifting weights. You want to learn how to play piano, you need to learn how to play piano. And that just, it just takes time. So to get the life that you want, to get the financial situation that you want, it starts with understanding what you want your life and what you want your finances to look like. Obvious? Yeah. Yes, and I think I could probably sketch out what most people sort of want, but I think it's more valuable, certainly for you, because I know what I want my financial life to look like. Do you? And what does that look like? How much money would you like to have? How much money would you like to earn? But I think more importantly is to then go second order thinking, what would that afford you? What would having that amount of money allow you to do? What opportunities would you have that you don't have today? And are those worth committing to and working towards? And the only one that can answer that question is, of course, you. So the only way to live how you want is to know how you want to live. And it's understandable to me why it is that we've not necessarily thought it all the way through and gone through this exercise, because I've got stuff to do, man. I got bills to pay. I got kids to pick up. I've got to try to make it to the gym. We are so wrapped up in our day-to-day that it's really easy and understandable that we're going to punt on this stuff. We're going to kick the can down the road. I don't want to call it procrastinating, but we procrastinate. So you know what? I'm gonna kick this to next week, next month, next quarter, next year. And the thing about money is that it has time value. And one of the things that's important about that is the longer that I wait to pursue the life that I want, the financial situation that I want, the harder it becomes to get there. And then there's the recognition that goal setting is a legitimate human superpower. And when we're talking about goal setting, that's where the imagination part comes in. Because what you're doing when you're goal setting is you are literally imagining any future that you want. You're sitting down, you're thinking about, could do anything. What would I like future me to be experiencing? What would I like my life to look like 6 months from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now? So I get to think about that. I get to consider that. Can weigh my options. Would I rather do this or do that? Is where I'm living right now where I want to live? So I like to break down goal setting because essentially, again, what we're doing is we are imagining any potential future, anything that you want. And then the next step in that is to move just past imagination to really execution. So you figure out, okay, this is what I want. What steps are necessary in order to make that happen? And you can do all this on your own through just using the internet or use AI or whatever. You say, hey, how do I get out of $8,000 of credit card debt in the next year? And how do I save up for the down payment on a home? How much will I need? And whatever it is. If I wanted to retire at 60 years old and I want to have this much income, how much do I need to be saving right now? And it'll be able to tell you that. So we can move from the very abstract to the very concrete really quickly with technology these days. And that's probably always been true, but it's really easy today. So you think about what it is that I want, think about anything, think about what it's going to take to get there, what is necessary, and then we execute on that. So we work to bring that, our desired future, into our current reality or into our future reality. So I like to think about, and I know that this is primarily a conversation about money, but because it touches everything and because money is a tool that allows me to get what I want, I break down goal setting, imagining to six areas. So I want to think about what it is that I want for my family. And maybe you want to start a family. Maybe you want a better relationship with your spouse or your kids, whatever. Then it's community. And community, these are the human beings outside of your immediate family. So your affinity groups, your hobbies, your religious organizations, what are you interested in? How are you interested in being a part of that community, strengthening it, moving it forward, whatever it might be? And then I like to think about career and financial. So what are your financial goals? What are your career goals? Your work? What would that look like in an ideal world? And then from a personal development standpoint, what are you interested in learning just for the sake of learning, beyond the career stuff, beyond the personal financial stuff? What are you interested in doing and learning from a well-being perspective? That's a function of, I want to be stronger. I want to be mentally stronger, physically stronger, emotionally stronger, intellectually stronger. So what do I need to do there? And then finally, peace of mind. So what would bring me peace of mind? What would help me to feel fulfilled, contented, happy, all of those things? And so as I go through that, obviously they're all interrelated, and maybe it's not obvious, but I believe that as long as we're clear in what our intentions are, what our real desires are, then money becomes an additive power force in this equation, in this mix. If I'm just pursuing money for the sake of money, and I'm not thinking about all this other stuff, well, then it will be more money, more problems. Then you'll just be attracting things into your life that are not good. You'll be pulled in directions that aren't necessarily positive, that are not aligned with the version or the vision of what it is that you want. That's why it's always so important to start with just a deep imagining of what you want your life to look like. And then we back into, here's how much I'm actually going to need. Here's the financial component. And here's how I'm going to use money as a tool for getting what it is that I actually want. So we don't want to skip ahead. I want you to go through this exercise. I want you to think about what's most important. And think about, in each one of those key areas, again, family, community, career, money, well-being, personal development, peace of mind, what matters most to you in those areas? Maybe you have an exhaustive list, really long list. Just really try to work it down to, these are the most important things, or the most important thing in each one of these areas. Focus on those. Focus on what you need to do to bring those into your reality. Okay, so what must be done in service of what matters? And then we go back to those most valuable resources of time, attention, energy, and money. And you figure out, okay, to get that thing that I want, to get rid of that thing that I don't want, how can I allocate or utilize these most valuable resources, time, energy, attention, and money? And then I think we're really on to something. And then it's a matter of consistently doing it and creating habits around doing what must be done in service of what matters. So it could be a function of, okay, if I'm interested in spending more time with my kids or having a deeper relationship with my kids, I'm probably going to need to spend more time on that. And that could mean that there's going to be money involved, that I need to pay somebody to come and do my yard work so I don't have to do that on the weekends, so I can spend that with my kids. Just one example. But just think about, what is it that's standing in the way of the thing that I want, and how, through a different, better, more optimal allocation of my resources, will that get me closer to that thing that I want? So that could mean I need to cut expenses. It could mean I need to add expenses. In this last example, it could be hiring somebody who's going to come clean up your yard once a week or twice a week, take care of the pool, watch the kids, whatever. Whatever it is, you're an intelligent, smart person. We just need to think this all the way through. So it could be I'm cutting expenses. It could be I need to earn more money. Well, I need more time. How do I do that? I need to free up some attention because I don't have any headspace at all. Okay, so what do we need to do in order to do that? I'm just tired all the time. Okay, well, that's obviously an energy problem. Maybe it's a fitness problem. Maybe that's a diet problem. Maybe you need to exercise more. Every single one of these, for the most part, have pretty good answers to them. So you figure out what your needs are, you figure out what the solutions are, and then you figure out how it is that you're going to pay for them. That's fundamentally it. Earn more money, live on less, some combination. What we're looking for is margin. Because if it's your desire to be debt-free, if it's your desire to only work part-time, if it's your desire to live in a different part of the country, if it's your desire to live in a larger home or to have an RV or a boat, whatever, we're looking for the margin to be able to invest towards those things that we want. So if we're just living paycheck to paycheck, if I'm totally redlining everything, if I'm squeezing everything that I possibly can into every day and I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels because I'm not getting ahead, well, then something has to change. If we desire change, something has to change. So what are the habits that we need to add in? What habits can we cut out? So let's go to a different example here. Let's talk about money habits related to eating. To food. Okay. One of the biggest ways that we Americans blow up our budget is food away from home. So FAFO, food away from H. Your boy's not a master speller, obviously. Food away from home. And I remember researching this prior to COVID, whatever. So 100 years ago. I think in 2019, it was the first time that Americans had now spent over 50% on food away from home. So that simply means that we are consuming more food, not from a grocery store. We're going out to eat. We're doing happy hour. You get the idea. So I am not opposed to that at all. I'm not opposed to that at all. But if we're looking for margin, well, this is a wonderful area to look at, to explore. What are your habits? How are you eating out of the house? Is it out of convenience? Is it out of necessity? These are the kinds of questions because this could be a big area where you could save money. Think about it one step further. If you can get in the habit of meal prepping on Sunday afternoons, or it's irrelevant to me what night you do it. That just seems like a pretty reasonable time to do it. That's the time that we do it in my house, is getting all of your meals ready, and we do it for the kids too, on Sunday afternoon. So what you do is you save a lot of money because instead of going out to eat, instead of running past a store and picking up something quick, be it for lunch, be it for breakfast, be it for a snack, be it for dinner, you're already planned out. So you're going to save a ton of money. You're probably going to eat a lot healthier. So it's nothing but a really, really, really positive thing. It's not easy to do that, but it's also not hard. It's just a new habit. For shopping, money habits related to shopping. I think that putting a container around this, simply meaning that there's only certain times that I am going to be online shopping, that is for the best. Because this is a pretty new phenomenon of just being able to go online and buy whatever I want and have it arrive at my house. And I guarantee it that if you went back to the old way of just having to go to the store to buy things, go to the mall, to go to the department stores or whatever, you'd pay less money. So if we could put a container around when it is that we're shopping and what it is that we're shopping for, then I think that you will put yourself in a pretty good position. And then one more thing that I wanted to talk about just about habits is money habits related to planning, because this is sort of what is undergirding this entire conversation is you use your imagination, you think about the life that you want, then you think about what's going to take to get there. So how do I bring that desired future into my current reality? And then you execute on that. And part of executing on that is paying attention and looking and managing. You've heard the saying, what gets managed, what gets measured, gets managed. So if we're paying attention to this stuff and we're actually understanding this is what I need to do, and then we're saying, okay, how am I tracking towards that, if I am at all, or am I just going backwards? Am I just kind of staying still? Having a monthly money meeting is a wonderful habit. I just did a video on this recently, a monthly money meeting. I advocate that you do this same time, same day, every month. So just to make Sundays the best day ever, you're doing the meal prep on Sunday afternoon, maybe Sunday morning, you sit down once a month, not doesn't need to be once a week, for an hour, 30, 45 minutes, going through all of your cash flow. So the things you spent money on, all the different transactions, reviewing your budget. How are we doing? Are we following the plan that we made for our money? Reviewing all of your accounts. And then just reviewing what it is that you want. So reviewing those goals, making sure that, yep, this is still what I want. Because it's okay to change your mind. What I've certainly discovered is once I start thinking about things, well, then I start thinking about more things and start thinking about different things. And when I start doing that, I start thinking better. I get better thinking. And that's really what we want. So you, brothers and sisters, brother, sister, bro, sis, buddy, pal, amigo, you are worthy of the level of success, the level of financial success that you want. You're worthy of it. I think that you're even deserving of it, but we're not entitled to it. So you can sit around and imagine all day long, which is a good first step, but then we need to put some action. We need to put some planning behind it, and then we need to execute on it, and we need to stick to it. We need to make this sustainable, not just a pipe dream. How do you get started? Well, you just get started. The famous saying goes, to begin, begin, and then finally one more time. There's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.